Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So most of you know, I often like to use props when I'm preaching. And I had a prop for today's sermon, but I cannot find it. And if you've been to my office, you know I've got lots of stuff on the shelves. I've also got too much stuff on my desk. And I also have my old Rolodex. Now, I think everybody here remembers Rolodexes. And I've kept it all these years, even though I no longer use it. But I kept the business card that I wanted to share with you at the front of it. Now, you remember business cards, right? We still have them, many of us. And they're good to give to colleagues, people you meet. But this was a different business card. It didn't have somebody's name on it. It didn't have the institution for which that person worked printed on it. Instead, it had two words: stop talking. Now, you may wonder why that was printed on a business card. I'll tell you. I had a colleague many years ago who had these cards printed up. And you may remember I was in development fundraising. And he had these cards to put in front of his colleagues who were talking too much, who were talking over the prospect they were visiting. He also sometimes put it in front of himself to remind himself to stop talking. Now, the fundraisers here know that if you want to be successful in the solicitation, it is important to listen to your prospect. And that's true if you're in sales or any kind of marketing. You need to listen up. I immediately thought of this card when I was preparing today's message. And you'll look at the front of your bulletin and you'll see the quote from Donald English, who is a deceased pastor. And he wrote, "It would not evidently have occurred to Peter to not say anything." Who here has ever been in an awkward situation? I thank those of you who have raised your hands for your honesty. And I suspect there are many other hands that could have gone up too. I'm going to raise my hand too. But in an awkward situation, in a place where we're seeing something that is hard to comprehend, one human reaction is to talk, to just say the first words that come out of our mouths. And Peter was in a really awkward situation. You think about it. Here he is on top of the mountain with Jesus, and all of a sudden, Scripture tells us, this cloud rolls in. And Jesus is bathed in white light, and his clothes shine. And then to make things really interesting, Moses and Elijah show up. So if you were in that situation, if you had the ability to say anything, would you have said what Peter did? Hey, let's put up some shelters, place for all you guys to be. It's not a crazy idea. In fact, if you look a little bit deeper at this, we have this tendency to want to put God in a box. And I'm not saying that's what Peter was doing there, but it is what we people often do. There's been a lot of talk about Christian nationalists lately. And it's been warranted and justified. But to go with Christian nationalists, there also need to be Christian leftists. People of all political stripes are trying to fit God into a box. God will match their agenda. Now, I'm not saying that some agendas aren't better than others. But we need to remember that God's agenda is not ours. We're about to move into the season of Lent. And yes, I'm going to give you a little early Lenten message. But this is a season of preparation and a time for us to repent and a time for us to clear the decks and to get ready for the miracle of Easter. Now, I can't tell you what happened on that mountain that day when Jesus and Peter went up. I can't tell you that. We have no documented witness, no eyewitness testimony. Peter did not write the Gospels. Maybe he told someone afterwards. And if he did, I'm really impressed that he was man enough to own up to the embarrassing behavior he engaged in. But I believe Scripture is true. And the messages it shares with us are true. And if we look at this text, we will notice that there are some similarities between this transfiguration and the crucifixion. And before anyone credits me with any great insight here, I'm going to, if I can find my notes, which I usually don't use in a sermon, credit this insight to N.T. Wright, the biblical scholar in England. And Wright notices how this passage maps so well with the story of the crucifixion. So the transfiguration and the crucifixion. With the transfiguration on the mount, Jesus is revealed in glory. The crucifixion on the hill, Jesus is shamed. Here his clothes are shining white. There his clothes are stripped. Here he is flanked by Israel's two greatest prophets. There he is flanked by two criminals. Bright clouds are overhead here, and with the crucifixion, darkness moves in. Here, Peter blurts out how wonderful it is. There, Peter will deny Jesus. Here, God declares his pleasure with his son. And there, a soldier proclaims Jesus is truly the Son of God. The transfiguration and the crucifixion mirror each other. We can see the cross in glory, and we can see glory in the cross. These parallelisms are an integral part of Scripture. And sometimes Scripture quotes from itself. The New Testament goes back to the Hebrew Bible. Here, the story is referring to itself. But this isn't solipsistic. Instead, we are to make the connections. I and many other preachers have said before, no cross, no crown. You don't get Easter without Lent. You don't get it without Good Friday and Holy Thursday. All of these are part of a whole. This story is not a theophany, which we had on Sinai, where God revealed himself to Moses and then to the people of Israel. Instead, it's a Christophany. And Christ reveals himself. And you'll remember that Christ told the disciples not to say anything. He wanted the story to play out. And yes, he was asking us to have faith. Now, we can all say, sure, it would be much easier for us to be here in church and to be faithful if Jesus would just give us a sign. Right? You like that in neon letters in the sky? I don't know about you, but I'd freak out. And to be honest, I like the fact that God stays out there. Because God is so big that it's really, really hard, if not impossible, for me to get my mental arms around him. I'm just trying to get through day to day. I thank God, though, for giving us Scripture and for giving us the witness of Jesus and for the prophets. For the example of those in our community who have gone before us. And we gathered here yesterday to remember Lloyd Bennett, to follow his example. But we can think of many Lloyds in our lives. And Lent is a really good time for us to do that, to try to straighten ourselves out. Because I don't know about you, but I am not ready for Jesus to actually come back. I do not want Jesus to look me in the eye and say, okay, Silver, it's time to settle accounts. It's time to settle the books. Maybe you are all ready for Jesus to show up. If you are, you can get in line ahead of me. I'm not saying I don't want Jesus to come back. I'm just saying I'm not ready for him to come back. So this is a hinge Sunday. It's a pivot between the season of Epiphany and the season of Lent. And I do hope that many of you will join us on Wednesday night, and the service will be live streamed if you can't be here physically present. And I hope that you will join us in adopting Lenten disciplines, that you'll get the reflections, you'll read your Bible, you'll contribute to your Lenten lunch bag, and that you'll get yourself ready for the resurrection. Because that, not Christmas, is the big day in the Christian year. And I'm glad that the commercial industrial complex has not gotten it through their heads. Let them mess with Christmas. It's a joyous event. But I like the fact that we Christians still have Easter to ourselves. And we can focus on what really matters. So, I invite you to imagine what it would be like to be on top of that mountain. I invite you to think about Peter's reaction. And I'd like to suggest that Peter would not have benefited from that card that said, stop talking. Because Jesus was welcoming Peter for who he was. Jesus knew what he was getting in Peter. He knew Peter would let him down. Yet Jesus still wanted Peter to be his right-hand person. I've said this before and I'll say it again. Jesus works with all of us. Jesus works through all of us. And I give God thanks for that. Would you please join me in prayer? Holy and gracious God, we thank you for the gift of the gospel and for the stories it tells. We thank you for the Hebrew Bible too and the lessons it shares with us. We thank you for the many, many ways that you are speaking to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.